We are looking at Surah Al-Fatih, which is the Al-Fatih, the Surah which is in the 26th juz of the Noble Quran. Now, when we mentioned the Bay'at of Ridwan, the bait which was taken when the news had spread that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had been martyred. In fact, he'd been detained in Makkah after being sent to negotiate with the Quraysh. And the rumor reached the Muslims of Arabia that he had been martyred. And this spurred the Muslims to resolve to wage jihad against the Quraysh. And on this occasion, the Sahaba pledged their allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beneath a tree at Hudaybiyah, undertaking to fight to the last and never to desert him. And it is with regards to this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايَعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايَعُونَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who pledge their allegiance to you, O Muhammad, really, they are pledging their allegiance to Allah, subhanallah. What an accolade Allah grants. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Allah's messenger who called people towards Allah's obedience. People who responded to his call actually responding to Allah's call, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instructions came directly from Allah. And the pledge of allegiance taken on this occasion denoted obedience to Allah as well as obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, numerous verses of the Quran explicitly instruct obedience to Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. Whoever obeys the messenger and obeys Allah. It is necessary for people to, or it's, you know, when we talk of the bay'at, then it may not necessarily be a requirement for people to place their hands on top of each other when pledging the allegiance, because it also suffices to take the pledge verbally. However, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the hands of the Sahaba when taking the bay'at from them on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, as was customary in those days, and as it is now, well, Allah says, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah's hand is above their hands. Although Allah is free of physical limbs, mention of Allah's hand in this verse is merely metaphorical and is mentioned to emphasize the fact that the pledge taken by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was actually taken with Allah. The mention of Allah's hand also serves to show the importance of this pledge. And since the sincerity of a person swearing allegiance cannot be ascertained, they are reminded to be true to that. And therefore, فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. Whoever breaches the pledge does so to his own detriment. Going against one's word is a major sin on its own. And breaching a pledge which one has sworn in the name of Allah is even worse and even graver than breaching a pledge if that it is taken with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for those who are true to their word, وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِأَهْدِهِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى مَا أَهْدَى عَلَيْهُ اللَّهِ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever remains true to his pledge, Allah will soon grant them a tremendous reward. The one who fulfills a pledge he makes with Allah. Now, this is the pledge which is given to the Khalif. The system of pledging allegiance, a bay'ah, in the line of tariqah tasawuf, is a blessed and sanctified practice. If a person becomes a follower of a sheikh who adheres strictly to the sunnah, then he should dutifully maintain the relationship with him. However, the sheikh instructs one to carry out an act that contravenes the sharia, the instruction should be ignored because it will be sinful. If a person has taken bay'ah, pledge of allegiance to a sheikh who is a sinner, or someone introduces bid'ah into the deen, it will be compulsory to cut those ties and to terminate the relationship with that sheikh. Now, moving further into the next verse, it is stated that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, during the year of the Tiriti of Hudaybiyah, took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and announced to all the villages neighboring Medina that he intended to leave for Umrah. Now, this announcement was intended to urge people to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Umrah and to do to get together a sizable group of people in case there was any skirmishes with the Quraysh. The Quraysh nevertheless decided to resist the Muslims, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had even donned the ihram and took the sacrificial animal with him so that people may be convinced that he only intended to perform Umrah. And as a result, a large group of Sahaba, numbering about 1400, accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, there were still a large number of villages that did not accompany Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and while until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not yet returned to Medina when Allah had revealed, سيقول لك المخلفون من الأعراب. Soon the villagers left behind will come to you and say, oh Muhammad, our wealth and our families had preoccupied us. شغلتنا أموالنا وأهلنا. فاستغفر لنا. Seek forgiveness on our behalf. Allah says that they made excuses telling you that they had to tend to their family and their property and all of that. And when Nabi Sassam arrived in Medina, these people in fact did come to Nabi Sassam with the very excuse that Allah had already mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, do not accept this excuse because يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَةِ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They utter with their tongues that which is not their heart. The utterance is nothing but lies, meaning they made it seem as if they actually wanted to accompany Nabi Sassam but was unable to do so because of the preoccupation. However, they never really intended to join Nabi Sassam in the first place. Even their request to Nabi Sassam to seek forgiveness on their behalf is insincere because they had no regard for this. They never believed in Allah and Nabi Sassam and the Messenger, so how could they even have the concept of forgiveness? Allah then consciences those people who make false excuses and who plot against Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, قُلْ فَمَا يَبْلِكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ نَرَادَ بِكُمْ ضَرًا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ نَفْعًا. Who has any power against Allah if he intends to harm anyone or to afflict you, if he intends to do good to you? It was necessary for the people to respond to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's announcement to join him. They did not heed his call and were sinful and deserved chastisement. Therefore, Allah cautions them that they will be helpless and deserve chastisement. Therefore, if this does happen, they should prepare themselves and make tawbah. Addressing them further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَلْظَنَنْتُمْ أَلَّا يَنْقَلِبَ رَسُولُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِمْ أَبَدًا وَزُيْنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَظَنَنْتُمْ ظَنَّ السَّوْءَ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا بُغْرًا. That Allah is ever aware of all they do. The fact is that these people thought that the Messenger and the believers will never return to their families. And this had been a dawn in your hearts and you entertained evil thoughts. They believed and even hoped that the kuffar would wipe out the Muslims. In fact, they would even discourage others from participating by urging them to hold back and see what the outcome of the expedition is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you were a destroyed people. وَلَظَنَنْتُمْ أَنْقَيًّا قَلِبَ الْآَىٰ رَسُولُ وَإِلَىٰ أَهْلِمْ وَلِزَرِيْذَا ذَلِكَ فِي قُلِينَ وَظَنَنْتُمْ أَسْلَانَ السَّوْءُ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا بُورًا. If you had to remain in this condition as you were at that time, you were really a destroyed people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says that وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ فَإِنَّاتِنَا الْكَافِرِينَ سَائِرًا. Whoever does not believe in Allah and His Messenger should know that we have certainly prepared a blazing fire for the disbelievers. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whoever He wills and punishes whoever He wills. Allah is unforgiving and merciful. And those who made these false excuses and undermined Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then for them is indeed a painful punishment. So these verses that we've discussed with you today gives us a further picture on what had happened and what was being predicted by Allah in terms of the hypocrites and those who do not really believe, but outwardly portrayed as though they are believers.